Good morning. This is Mose, and I'm here to bring the daily inspirations for the 19th day of the month. So God bless you as you feast on the Word of God today. Trust that it can be a blessing to you. And if you would like to, I'd appreciate your feedback. If you want to give me a call, 717-656-9576. And this morning I chose to look at the contrast between good and evil. And I'd like to go to the Garden of Eden this morning and consider the beauty of the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in Genesis there, and alludes to it in many other areas of the many other parts of the Bible, that the Garden of Eden was a very beautiful place. It was a place to be desired. It was a place of refuge. It was a place of closeness with God. It says that Adam and Eve walked with God there in the garden. And in fact, after they sinned, God came out and he called them. And Adam, where art thou? And he spoke with Adam directly, and he walked with them, obviously walked with them physically. So if we can imagine this beautiful, 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 beautiful place. I mean, some of you have been to different gardens, possibly. Here in Pennsylvania, we have one that's called Longwood Gardens. And it's just a beautiful place. I mean, they watch over that garden. They water it. They have all kinds of flowers and trees and bushes and shrubs and just a lot of different beautiful things. And it's just so beautiful to take a walk in that garden. Especially young people love it. Young ladies love it to go have their fiance take them for a walk in that garden. And so if we can just imagine the beauty of the Garden of Eden in such a way. Here, God himself was the caretaker of that garden, and he kept it beautiful. He kept it beautiful, and it was not marred by any briars, and anything undesirable was just not in that garden. And I believe there was good fruit to eat, and I don't know what all was there, but I know from what the Bible says that it was a beautiful place, very beautiful place. And God was there. That was the most beautiful part of it. God was there. And maybe some of you get the idea that God is the man with the big stick up in heaven. No, God is not the man with the big stick. In fact, he cared for you so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. I mean, can you imagine how much someone loves you to lay down his life for you? What if you were a blind man, blind and deaf, and you were walking on the railroad and you had no idea that a train was coming, and some man saw the danger that you were in, and he came and quickly pushed you off the tracks right in front of the train, and you escaped with not even a scratch. And yet this man got killed because he couldn't get off the tracks fast enough. Do you think that would be a sacrifice? Do you think that would be what would you think of that? The heroic act that man did by making you, getting you clear from the tracks, and yet at the same time losing his own life. Well, that's what God did. God, he came down in his son, Jesus Christ, and he allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be smitten. He allowed himself to be hung on a cross and to die there so that we can have eternal life. And so now, that's, I'm talking about a loving Father, a loving God, and the beauty of the garden there in the Garden of Eden. And, it's just, what a wonderful place. What a wonderful place. And then, I would like to go to the other side and consider just a little bit the ugliness of sin. And there in the Garden of Eden, in this beautiful garden, actually it was not in the Garden of Eden, it was after they had been driven out of the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve had a son. In fact, they had twins. They had twins born to them. And this one son grew up to be a man of God. And he chose to bring animal sacrifices he chose to do things that pleased God. Again, a beautiful picture of the beauty of walking with God and to be, Garden of Eden type thing, where he was able to please God and be in favor with God. And that was Abel. And then on the other hand, we have Cain, who was a mighty hunter, and he was able to, he probably used bow and arrow and went out hunting and brought many animals to eat, and I'm just trying to consider there. He was actually, I guess I'm wrong there. Cain was not a mighty hunter. He was a tiller of the field, and he was it was Abel that was a shepherd, and he tended sheep and so forth, I believe. And he brought the sacrifice of animals, but Cain, he brought the sacrifice. He brought his own thing, the work of his own hands. He brought the grain that he worked for, and he was disobedient to God because God had told him to bring a sacrifice of blood, and he chose to do his own thing, I have this wheat here, I have this grain, I have this corn, and I can bring a sacrifice to God, but God did not accept that sacrifice, and he was well pleased with that sacrifice. I don't know if I can quickly turn to that or not, but be nice to read that. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you take time to just go to that account there in Genesis and read that and just consider what Cain's sin was there. Was the sin of Cain, was that the bringing of grain instead of animals? I'm not sure that it was. I think the sin that Cain was in was the sin that he was disobedient to God. It says in Genesis 4, Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. And she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. You know what? Maybe they were not twins. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. See, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of ground. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain, because of that, became very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Now, I don't know what that mark was, whether it was such an evil countenance that no man dared come close to him, or whether it was some other physical thing. I have no idea what that mark was. The Bible does not tell us what that mark was. But anyway, it does say that lest anyone finding him should kill him. So it must have been some very distinctive mark. And but anyway, the life of Cain. The life of Cain. What about the life of Cain? He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That came from Cain himself. And from God it said, so now you are cursed from the earth. Cursed. Cursed by God. What a sad state to be in, to be cursed by God. But you know what? Cain could have had forgiveness if he would have came to God and repented of his sin. But he did not. He ran away from God. And he ran away from God. And so many people today, they run away from God. God calls them with a gentle voice, and yet the people run away. And they choose not to serve God. So the choice here that Cain made was a choice in his own heart. To not respond properly to God, but to run away. And I'd just like to show the contrast of Abel's life, living there in the Adam and Eve there in the garden, the beautiful life that they lived, and Abel's life, having been in favor with God, and then Cain's life, and having to be a fugitive, having to run from God. All his life, he was just running from God, and no doubt it says his punishment is, that my punishment is greater than I can bear. And so, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Can you imagine being outside of the presence of God and how awful that must be? And knowing that you Your life is doomed forever, and it is just a miserable life. I mean, you can imagine the most miserable day that you've had and how miserable that day was. And to have such a life, the contrast. I mean, can you imagine? Let's just consider the contrast and make a choice of the good and not of the evil. And again, I would like to just also consider the fact that your choice that you make today is the same as that choice that between Cain and Abel there. They both had a choice, and Abel chose to follow God and be obedient to God, and Cain chose the other way and the wretchedness of his life, and maybe tomorrow I can take a look at the sin of the wickedness of I'd like to look at possibly look at some young people that get into drugs and the wretchedness that they bring themselves into. But anyway, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's what Joshua said to the children of Israel there. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So is it the God of heaven? Is it that loving Father? Or is it the devil that you're choosing to serve? And you will choose one or the other, whether you do it consciously or not. If you follow after the world, if you walk with evil men, and you are choosing to follow one or the other. And so, and even in everyday life, the little choices that you make, just consider that those little choices either draw you closer to God or further away from God. Closer to peace and holiness, or closer to sin and the devil and being doomed forever. So God bless you this morning, and let's just have a quick word of prayer here this morning, our Heavenly Father. I just pray for the listeners here this morning that you would bless and guide, and that you would help each one, whether it be young or old, to make that choice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of their life, a solid commitment to walk with you and to be obedient to you and to live a life that is a blessing to themselves and also a blessing to others. Father, this morning we commit each listener to you in the name of Jesus, our beloved Savior. Amen. Well, God bless you as you consider your future. And as you continue to search the Scripture for answers, may God have His way in your life in the name of Jesus.